Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello there, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you with us. I hope you have been with us for every day of this special series on spiritual warfare that we've been doing, really for about the last week and a half. Derek Prince has been teaching us about the weapons of our warfare, and man, has it been good. Today, I'm very excited about where we're going, because Derek is going to talk about the power, really the weapon that preaching is, the way that preaching is meant to be like a hammer, like a weapon that's used to destroy the powers of darkness. You know, I pastored for over 20 years, and I know that when preaching is powerful, biblically based, informed, and anointed, it really does have the power to set the captives free. And I know it also has the power to empower people in turn to proclaim that same truth to others and see them set free. So it's a wonderful thing we're going to be looking at today, and nobody does it better than Derek Prince. A couple of things I want to mention to you. If you want to get a free resource about this very topic, we're offering that on our website, our free resource called Expelling Demons, a great teaching by Derek on the very topic that we've been dealing with. And also, while you're on the website, you'll find that you'll be able to listen to our other broadcasts. You'll find out information about podcasts and everything you could possibly want to know about Derek Prince Ministries. Listen, get a pencil, get a pad, get your Bible, and listen to what Derek is about to teach. This will transform your experience at church, transform your experience as a Christian, transform your relationship to the Word of God. Let's get listening to what Derek has to teach us about the weapon of preaching.
In my previous talks this week, I've dealt with two main weapons of attack, the weapon of prayer and the weapon of praise. To be fully effective, we've seen that each of these weapons needs to be combined with God's Word. Today, I'm going to deal with another weapon of attack that is related even more directly and specifically to God's Word, the weapon of preaching. Let me add that I have in mind solely and exclusively the preaching of God's Word. What I have to say today in no way applies to the preaching of other things, such as human philosophies, or political ideologies, or even elaborate theology, but only to the preaching of God's Word. A good point to begin this study of the power of the preaching of God's Word is found in the words of Paul to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. This is what Paul says. It's a very solemn charge. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I want to point out certain important things. First of all, the solemnity of the charge. It's given in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, in the light of the fact that Christ will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom. It's one of the most solemn charges ever given to a servant of God. The charge is, preach the word. It implies the accountability of the preacher for what he preaches. The reference to the fact that Jesus will judge the living and the dead indicates that preachers will answer to the Lord for the messages they preach. As a warning not to accommodate the desires of self-pleasing rebels who don't want to hear the truth and will look for preachers that will preach the kind of thing they want to hear. The warning is, do not accommodate these people. There's a warning that not all will receive the truth. Nevertheless, in spite of all this, in spite of opposition and criticism, the charge is, preach the word of God. Scripture has much to say about the effectiveness of God's word. Isaiah 55:11, God says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Again, in Jeremiah 23:29, God says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" And then in Hebrews 4:12, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So there's tremendous power in the preached word of God. Its results are guaranteed. It will not return empty. It will accomplish God's pleasure. It's a hammer that will break in pieces every rock that opposes the purposes of God. It's like a sharp sword that pierces to the innermost recesses of the human personality and lays bare the secrets of men's hearts and minds. I want to give an example of this power of the preached word of God from the ministry of Paul in Ephesus. I'm going to read Acts 19:8-10. "Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord." There are 3 adjectives that describe this preaching of Paul. It was intense, it was continuous, it was extensive. Daily, for 2 years, he taught the word of God. And it was extensive in the sense that his teaching reached out to the whole of the large province of Asia. I think we often fail to realize that Paul spent over 2 years continuously in the city of Ephesus every day preaching the word of God. Now let's look at the results. To me, the results are rather like throwing a stone into a pond and then watching the ripples go out from the place where the stone fell, extending wider and wider in every direction till they reach the margin of the pond. The first result was supernatural attestation. The scripture says that God will confirm his word. He doesn't confirm human theories or philosophies or even denominational tags, but he will confirm his word. So he did for Paul. This is what it says in Acts 19:11-12. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. I love that word, extraordinary miracles. You know what it implies? That some miracles were ordinary, but the ones that happened here in Ephesus were extraordinary. I always ask myself this question: in how many of our churches today do we have even ordinary miracles, let alone extraordinary miracles? Then it describes these extraordinary miracles. Handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick. Their illnesses were cured. The evil spirits left them. I just want to testify from personal experience. I've seen miracles like that happen in my time. I've been a witness of them. This is not out of date. The key factor is preaching the word of God.
I want us all to agree for preaching of the kind that Derek describes, the kind that cuts to the heart, breaks down strongholds, and gives life. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
There's only one thing worse than having a deadly enemy: having one and not knowing it. Now, in a new book from the writings of Derek Prince, you'll find one of the most comprehensive explorations of Satan's strategies and tactics you will ever read. In Lucifer Exposed, The Devil's Plan to Destroy Your Life, you'll gain powerful insights into the enemy's schemes and discover the spiritual keys to thwarting those attacks and walking in victory. This brand new book from Derek Prince will help you uncover Satan's strategic plan to destroy your life. In Lucifer Exposed, you'll find how to disarm the devil now, so you can experience success in every area. To order your copy of Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95,
Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Stop his plan. Order Lucifer Exposed. Call 800-448-3261 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we're in the middle of a great series by Derek Prince called Spiritual Warfare. Now, let me ask you this question. What happened when the Apostle Paul preached the word without reservation or compromise for 2 years? Well, you're about to find out. Let's listen.
The scripture says that God will confirm his word. He doesn't confirm human theories or philosophies or even denominational tags, but he will confirm his word. So he did for Paul. This is what it says in Acts 19, verses 11 through 12. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. I love that word, extraordinary miracles. You know what it implies? That some miracles were ordinary, but the ones that happened here in Ephesus were extraordinary. I always ask myself this question: in how many of our churches today do we have even ordinary miracles, let alone extraordinary miracles? Then it describes these extraordinary miracles. Handkerchiefs and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick. Their illnesses were cured. The evil spirits left them. I just want to testify from personal experience. I've seen miracles like that happen in my time. I've been a witness of them. This is not out of date. The key factor is preaching the Word of God. I've said that the first result of Paul's preaching in Ephesus was supernatural attestation to his message by miracles. The second result is very interesting. Evil spirits were driven out into the open. Reading on in Acts 19, verses 13 through 16. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house, naked and bleeding. See, one of the important things in the ministry is to bring Satan's secret agents out into the open. And demons or evil spirits are Satan's secret agents. It represents a great stage of progress in the ministry of God's word when these evil spirits that work in secret, undercover, are brought right out into the open. And this happened here. I'm always impressed by what the evil spirit said. He said, "Jesus, I acknowledge. Paul, I know about." To me, that's a kind of backhanded compliment. When the representatives of Satan have to say about a preacher, "I know about him," he's achieving something. All right, what was the third result of Paul's preaching? Occult domination over an entire city was broken. Reading on in Acts 19, verses 17 through 19. When this, that's the incident with the man with the evil spirits, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. The name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. You see, a lot of people were believers, but they'd been dabbling in the occult, a situation that's similar in the church today. They had one foot in God's kingdom, one foot in Satan's camp. But when they saw this fearful demonstration of the reality of Satan's power, they decided to commit themselves totally to God and turn their back on Satan. As evidence of this, they brought the books or the scrolls which contained the occult knowledge, the magic, the sorcery, and so on. And all these books were publicly burned somewhere in the city of Ephesus. It says the value of the books was 50,000 drachmas. A drachma at that time was about a day's wages for a working man. If you compute a day's wages in the United States at about $30, more or less, give or take, 50,000 drachmas corresponds to $1,500,000. That's a large sum of money. See what an impact that must have made on the entire city. And I believe the same thing needs to happen in almost every major city of the United States today. Now, let's look at the scripture's explanation of all this. Acts 19:20. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. What was the power behind all this? Was the word of the Lord. Paul's ministry of the word for over 2 years produced dramatic, powerful results. Satan's kingdom in that area was rocked to its foundations. His fortresses were overthrown. Finally, let's look at an account of Paul's own ministry as he gives it himself in Acts 20, verse 20 and following. He says to the people there about his ministry in Ephesus, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you." And then again he says, "Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." I sum that up in two phrases: no reservations, no compromise. That's the kind of preaching of the Word of God that accomplishes those effects. We need it today.
We've just heard a magnificent teaching on spiritual warfare by Derek Prince, focusing specifically on the weapon of preaching. You know, Derek said something so powerful, and I want to quote it back to us. It is a hammer, this preaching that he's talking about, is a hammer that will break into pieces every rock that opposes the purposes of God. What an amazing statement. You know, I want to really focus for a few moments on this issue of preaching. I know that most people listening to this show are not preachers per se, but people who receive preaching. But you know, preaching has been one of the most powerful tools of the gospel in the history of the church. My own academic field is in American Christianity, and I'm keenly aware that during the American Revolution, King George III referred to the colonial clergymen, the colonial preachers, as the Black Regiment. He said of all the regiments in the colonial army, he feared the Black Regiment. Now, he wasn't talking about black-skinned preachers. He was talking about the clergymen wearing their black preaching robes. So the King of England, at a time when the colonies were in a revolution, said he feared more than any of the military or the martial units within the American colonies, the Black Regiment. And why did he fear them? He said because they preach the truth with thunder, that they preach the power of God. I mean, there's literally a case to be made that this country, that the United States, was born in the preaching of people like George Whitefield and the other colonial clergymen. One of the things we must pray for in our generation, one of the things that we pastors and leaders must work for, is a quality of preaching that is beyond just exhortation, beyond just entertainment, beyond just telling cute stories and entertaining the troops on Sunday morning. There is a kind of preaching, and I think Derek modeled it, that is prophetic, that is biblical, that is courageous, that is unyielding. It breaks up the hiding places of the sins and the cowardly corners of our lives. It exposes things of our hearts and of the way our society functions that need to be dealt with. When I was doing the research on the biography of Derek Prince, I would discover stories about how as Derek preached, people would cry out in pain, not because it was a bad sermon, but because they were under such conviction. When he was pastoring in London just after World War II, he would often preach the gospel in power, and somebody would threaten to kill him. Somebody would stand up and begin to oppose him. And many times these are people under demonic control. Why would this happen? Because Derek's preaching was a force for the kingdom of God. It was an anointed proclamation of the truth of Jesus, and it prompted a response from the kingdom of darkness. This is what we need in our time, and it is truly, as he says, one of the great weapons of attack. And there's more great stuff to come, including a special guest, as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The supernatural is real, but how Hollywood portrays it isn't. In his classic booklet, Expelling Demons, Derek Prince illuminates the dark side of the supernatural with the truth. Line by line, Derek reveals what the Bible says about how demons operate today and your authority over them. Now you can draw on Derek's extensive research and discover that as a Christian, you need not fear demons. In fact, it's your job to drive them out. For your free copy of Expelling Demons by Derek Prince, simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261.
In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Expelling Demons is a thought-provoking booklet that tackles this controversial subject, as only Derek Prince can. Call now to order your free copy, 800-448-3261, or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and with me today in the studio is Dick Leggett. Now, Dick is not only the president of Derek Prince Ministries, but he has the unique honor of having actually led worship with Derek Prince and for Derek Prince meetings. Dick, great to have you with me today.
Thanks, Stephen. Good to talk with you again.
Now, given the teaching that we're listening to today, was there anything he ever said to you about how to lead worship or about where he wanted to arrive spiritually in worship or the choice of songs that would be maybe instructive as to his view?
No, he really trusted me with it. But every once in a while, Derek was amazing. He would feel free just to come up as I was leading worship, and he would just whisper something in my ear, or he'd just say, all right, let's just be silent for a while.
Oh, really?
And I always tried to be responsive, and usually he was right on target.
Now, you know, I wasn't a Christian at that time, but I recall that the songs were very oriented towards Scripture. In fact, you'd have an entire worship service where you'd sing nothing but the Bible, really, because there
Absolutely.
Was a strong early charismatic emphasis on the Word.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a classic of that is a song that talks about the power of praise, and that's with the high praises, Psalm 149, with the high praises of God in my mouth and a two-edged sword in my hand. I won't sing it for you. I'll spare you that. But, you know, that image of the high praises and a two-edged sword, I mean, that's warfare. It talks later about, you know, binding kings with chains and nobles with fetters. That's warfare,
yeah.
And that is directly related to having the high praises of God in our mouths. So praise is a weapon.
Now, you said something a few moments ago that intrigues me, because Derek believed that worship prepared the heart for the Word.
Absolutely.
And yet, not to be critical, but many pastors view the worship in their services, and I'm going to use kind of an off-color phrase, I guess, for some people, almost like the cocktail music that goes before, you know, an event,
yeah.
Or like the tinkling of the piano or whatever. Maybe getting people emotionally in a certain place, but
right.
Not spiritually. But Derek believed that his work was actually enhanced by the work of the worship leader.
Absolutely. And he would sometimes not begin until he felt that things were right where they needed to be in worship. Many times I would finish and he would say, come up, let's
we're not done yet.
Let's worship a little bit more. And there's one other thing I wanted to add, Stephen, and that is that in terms of deliverance sometimes, you know, when people are being set free from bondage and great spiritual enemies, I've seen many times where the predicate to that is worship, just lifting up the Lord. And what you do there is you're focusing on the majesty of God and His magnificence rather than on the vileness of the enemy. That's a real important principle as well.
Well, that's powerful, because many Christians spend so much time going after the devil, it's almost like the worship service is about the devil rather than the glory of God.
That's right.
But really, as we praise Him, as we enthrone Him on the praises of His people, you know, the enemy is scattered.
That's right.
We see that principle time and again. Dick, great having you with us.
Thanks, Stephen. It's always a privilege.
Good stuff. Listen, for those of you listening to us, you can find the teachings that we're talking about, free resources, all kinds of information on the website at derekprince.org. Our time is up. It's great having you with us. For Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries, for me, Stephen Mansfield, and for everybody at Derek Prince Ministries, we love you. We're glad you're here. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, Lucifer Exposed, for only $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, you can get a free copy of Derek's booklet, Expelling Demons, when you call. It's our gift to you for spending time with us today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or, in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online, anytime, at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.